Tire changes? Great night. Wow.
It was, yeah.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. They come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 199. Here, as always, with the feverish Finero.
Sound like French.
Finero. At least I didn't say Finaro.
Oh, I hate that.
And Mr. Dave Wright at FF underscore spaceman still with us this evening. No baby space child. Baby space child.
Not that I haven't heard anything from upstairs, so I'll let you know.
Haven't heard. That would be awesome. Wouldn't that be epic if just like halfway through the show, Dave has to tell his wife that he's probably got about six more players to get through, and then they can leave to go to the hospital?
Yeah, I mean, we can live stream, you know, that just hit the live on YouTube, and we can just, you know, ask doctors questions, their favorite rookie wide receivers, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and everybody that's listening is probably like, huh, maybe Dave would put a shirt on for us, and no, he won't.
Why are you guys giving away our 200th episode idea?
Ooh.
Don't tell them. It was supposed to be a surprise.
Going live for 200?
Yeah, live.
Oh, don't tease, Finero, don't tease.
First person view.
You set it up, I'm there. We'll figure it out.
Let's do it.
We'd have like 30 views.
Probably.
So anybody listened last week, we're getting right back into the rookie rewinds. Very excited to talk about this. Obviously, I have some bad news to talk about first. I want to talk about a trade that Feverish Finero made. I'm going to say the trade, and Finero can kind of tell us what he's thinking, and then we'll get Dave's thought here. We'll pass it around a little bit, but Finero traded away. I don't know if this was sent or if he sent it, a 2022 first and Cam, or and he got Cam Akers. So he sent a 2022 first for Cam Akers.
Yeah, so Finero, I sent.
I know you feel good about it. Sorry to interrupt.
I do. And since then, this is kind of like an indication, I think, of what you like to call groupthink. I felt in my bones that this was a great opportunity to try to go get Cam Akers. So I put three offers out and they were all the same. It was a first. It was my 2022 first in leagues where it made sense. And the three leagues that I did it in. But oddly enough, two were refused.
Okay.
And the third one was still kind of floating out there, which I'll talk about in a minute. And then one was sent to me. So that one that you're talking about, the one that actually got accepted, was sent to me for my 22 first. And I think I kind of have a good idea why. It's because I finished in second to last place last season. So that potentially to that person, if they're not really looking carefully,
they're looking for an early pick.
Yeah. If they're not looking really carefully at my team, which I jettisoned Goff to get Dak. So I was running with one quarterback in a super flex the entire year. I lost Michael Thomas and there were other injuries. So like that team kind of just tanked. It was in third place just the year before. So, and now I have Dak. So, and the weakness of that team is clearly running back. I have Chubb and Rojo. That's like it. So I'm really strong in every other position. I really wanted a running back. I didn't know how I was going to get one in this league. I kept trying. And when that offer came to me, I just smashed it because I was giving that offer out and it was getting refused. Right. But yet I go on Twitter and I'm seeing people getting Cam Akers for much less. And when I say much less, like maybe a second and a third.
Yeah.
2 seconds, but no firsts. I shouldn't say no firsts, but it was less frequent. So now all of a sudden I'm feeling a little bit buyer's remorse. I'm like, did I overpay? Like, what's going on? Like, this didn't feel comfortable, but I just trust my original gut feeling. This kid just turned 22 in June, just turned 22. And I think what made me feel even weirder about it is like the spaceman. I mean, when I send him something, I mean, he responds like in, I don't know, 30 seconds or less. I tell him about my Cam Akers trade and it's all crickets, man. Like I don't hear a word. So I'm sitting there thinking, He doesn't like it. And Swags is mirroring not how he feels, but what Twitter's saying. He's like, I'm kind of seeing a second and a third. I'm like, dude, like, this is not cool. Like, my boys aren't backing me up on this. My gut feeling is all I really have to go on. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I still feel good about this trade. I really do. I think for that team in particular, where it happened, I feel really good. One other league, the third one, and I'll let it go at this, that one that actually got back to me, the counter offer was he wanted my Mostert, which he can have, two first, a 2022, a 2023, and Rager.
What? I wouldn't have given that him was, that 3 days ago.
That was the counter offer.
Yeah. That kind of stuff is silly.
made me feel a little better about the 2020 or the 22 first only. Again, I think Swags, I threw back at you. I think the there's two arguments to why this may or may not be a good. Obviously, if that pick winds up being a top five pick, that probably was a bad trade. Or we don't have, and this is when just so everybody knows, Spaceman did get back to me. It was just maybe just an hour ago, but he did get back to me, and his concern was the ACL injury itself, and that there isn't Achilles. Right, and there's not a whole lot of data about the Achilles injury and like how players come back. And that did settle in a little bit more for me after, you know, kind of thinking, okay, why is everyone not agreeing with me? Why does a first feel like a lot to people when just before that in ADP, he was the RB8, he was 25 overall in Dynasty, and he's not worth a 2022 first at 22 years old? Like, that just didn't compute, but that's why. People are concerned about that particular injury and how he would come back, not only next year, but just at all, like not at all, but like, is he going to be the same guy?
And in fairness too, and when I said, you know, I didn't get the notification. So I was like shocked. I saw it. I felt horrible. It was like 12 hours since I had gotten, I was like, oh my God. But anyway, and when I said that too, I forget, it was a doctor of physical therapy on Twitter. I forget who it was, who talked about the Achilles injury. And the real thing with that is too, is, just because it hasn't happened before, we have an incredibly small sample size of Achilles injuries, and we don't even really have an Achilles injury of a player who potentially of Akers caliber at that age that we really know about. Maybe Mikel LeShore, but Mikel LeShore didn't have the same, I would argue he didn't have the same buzz as Akers and didn't have the same athleticism as Akers did before his Achilles injury. So just because it hasn't happened, it's a very small sample size. So you can't use that as to argue one way or the other. We just don't know. I think that's the biggest thing, is we just don't know. So I want to make sure that it's not that I think that it's a bad trade or anything like that. It's just I think it's a gamble. And I think that's how good deals end up. You need to risk some to get some. I'm a big believer in. So I like it. And that from that perspective.
Yeah. And for me, I think part of it comes down to being a little bit concerned about how he does come back from that injury. And then within that time frame, what happens? Do the Rams feel compelled to draft somebody next year while Akers is still mending? Because it seemed like they were looking for a Cam Akers. I'm going to say that Cam Akers is better than Henderson and feel comfortable with that. We were never a Daryl Henderson show. So in that time, like while he's mending up, like does Henderson do good or bad? And then they look for another running back. And now is Cam Akers fighting for that job with the new guy while he's maybe not the same Cam Akers? So that those are where my concerns are, kind of where, like you said, Finero, I didn't give you crickets, but I did. I kind of, like you said, I kind of gave you what I saw rather than really, because even before you said I made a trade for Cam Akers, and I was kind of like, you going to tell me about it or just wait for the show? Like, what's going on? You know, like, and then you just told me about it. So part of me kind of wanted to talk about it here a little bit. And part of me, I'm not sure how I feel, you know, like I almost want that value. I feel like there's going to be a time when you can maybe get them a little bit cheaper when teams are a little bit less patient or things like that. If the injury takes more than a year, I mean, he could not be right for a year to two, you know, so definitely cheering for Cam Akers. It's horrible. He's one of the players, like when we talk about like Swift, Dobbins, Akers, like I was really excited to watch Akers this year in that offense with the lead role. So super disappointing. I don't mind the move at all. I haven't tried to get any Akers because I don't know if I have your moxie. I don't know if I have the balls to put a first on the table for him. And I haven't been the guy that wanted to go out and offer a second or third. I think that that's almost a bad look off after the injury, to be completely honest with you, to be sending those offers. If one gets sent to you, that's a different story. Accept that. Absolutely. I don't know, Fenero. I'm trying to decide if these are waters I would want to test or not.
It's weird.
Definitely cheering for him.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm hoping it's just like one of those gut reactions that you can trust. You know, sometimes you'll make a decision in life and your gut just tells you to do it, and you trust your gut. This felt like an opportunity. It really truly did. And I think it comes from two different places in regards to the injury and just removing it from the talent. It's just so freaking early, you know, in the season, right? So this isn't happening week 10 or in the middle of the season or even week 2 or 3. This is happening before anyone reported to training camp. So you got that nice long amount of recovery before the start of the following season. And then you just hear about all the remarkable surgeries and recoveries that have happened over the last 5 years and how far medicals have come. And mm-hmm. and then like David said, there's no evidence one way or the other, really. It would be different if there was a lot of history, you know, pointing towards this being a negative thing. And that's not there either. So like, I don't know. I don't feel there's trades that I've made after, you know, an emotional response. This didn't feel emotional. It felt as though I was trusting my gut feeling on it. And I feel like those are the factors that were weighing in. Just the things that I mentioned. I was less afraid of the injury than it seems like a lot of people are. And I could be wrong, but this is why I did what I did.
Yeah. I don't hate it at all.
Yeah. We'll see.
Dave hates it. He just doesn't want to say it.
No, I am. It's weird. I actually, one of the things that I initially did come up across was could you have gotten a cheaper price down the road a little bit? But I think there is, you need to know your league a little bit too and who you're dealing with. There are people who are panicking about Akers. Like there was hysteria. This is the only news that's really going on in the NFL right now. So that's all people were talking about. So there are people who are feeling that heat, that pressure. They might be win now mode. So that might be a time to strike hot. On the other hand, might have people who are having the emotional reaction of, hey, I believe in this player. This is what I think he's valued in, and I have to be patient. And so maybe once the season starts and they need that little extra or whatever, they need pieces or whatever to compete or to build their squad, that might be the time to strike. So it was just kind of those, it has not something that I had gone out and done. So it was cool. I actually did like the thought exercise of thinking about what you did and hearing your explanation of it and Swags's too.
Well, and see, I'm a different kind of evil too. I'm not the guy that's going to necessarily go and try to buy Akers low from you, but I'm the guy that's going to find the Akers owner and see if they're in some kind of desperation mode and try to sell them Melvin Gordon or Fournette on the cheap. Sure, I'm not trying to take advantage of a price, but I'm trying to find an ease of sale to get rid of the assets that I don't want in a long term. And I really mean that. I'm not trying to like bend somebody over, and I don't want a first for Melvin Gordon or Fournette, but that's how I kind of approach it, is just kind of like, maybe I can take advantage of them in a different way than like, highway robbery, and they can wait for Akers to heal. But that's how I approach it.
Yeah, I did look at that too, Swags. I just didn't, and I'm not in as many leagues as you are, but in the 10 or 12 I was looking at, I just didn't have that running back to really sell at that right kind of, I don't know. I didn't even know.
Get any moves done.
Yeah, I mean that you're probably right though. I think that's both the safer and the easier move probably to make right now than the hot news of Akers.
I did make a move very recently within the last few days for the number 10 player on our list here for our rookie rewinds.
Oh, nice.
So if anybody listened to the Super Flexible podcast recently, my sell was Keenan Allen, and I tried to make an effort for that. We don't need to get into this trade, but I sold Keenan Allen and Dyami Brown for Brandon Ayuk in a league. So I got rid of a Keenan Allen share, added Brandon Ayuk. I feel great about it. I'm kind of like, he's somebody I'm targeting in all leagues. Brandon Ayuk was wide receiver 34 last year. This scoring format, he only had 189.1 points, 6 attempts, 77 yards, 2 touchdowns out of the backfield. Wait, no. Was that?
Yeah, that sounds right. Because he had 5 in the air, right?
90, yep. 96 targets, 748 yards, total of 5 touchdowns. I'm reading this all wrong. I know why, though, now. I just haven't read these in a while.
So he had a total of 5 touchdowns?
Total of 7.
Okay, yeah. So 2 on the ground and 5 in the air.
Yep.
You had it right. 748 yards.
Yep. Averaged wide receiver 18 for 15.8 points weekly.
Did he miss some time, too?
Yeah.
He only played in 12 games that I have in for weeks 1 through 16.
It's 750 yards in 12 games as a rookie. Wow.
Yeah. Great season.
I am jealous of one because I thought you were on a big buy Keenan Allen binge here at one point in the offseason.
That was last year. Yep. He bought him
last year when it was smart.
And then
this year when everybody's into a 29-year-old wide receiver when he's going to turn 30, the value is higher than it was last year. And he aged. Listen to that super flexible podcast, Dave.
I listened.
Sell some Keenan Allen.
It's downloaded. I just haven't listened
yet. It hurts your heart, doesn't it, Finero?
A little bit because I bought him. Because you told me to.
Well, when did you buy him?
I bought him at the end of last season, unfortunately. I'm for a little late to the game.
What'd you pay?
It was Predator, so like it's Devy and the picks aren't worth as much.
Trade. Yeah, I still like that trade a lot.
It's a confusing trade, but hey,
probably none of those guys listen to this show. Maybe a couple, but I'd throw some offers in, try to sell Keenan Allen. It's a fool's gold, not from a production standpoint, but from a value standpoint. Like, I mean, you can go get younger guys like Tyler Lockett and Cooper Kupp that are going to do similar things, and they're valued appropriately for their age. Keenan Allen had a weird value spike that we just don't usually see in these wide receivers. So, Finero, honestly, I'm fine holding Keenan Allen, but the value spike, I mean, you could already get more than you sold him for. Or than you bought him for in Predators, because I remember that and I was silly jealous of that trade. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, why didn't I just that league's tough to make trades in? It's one of those leagues I just didn't try for. You can't be like a hater, but I was jealous, like, wow, Finero's gonna win the league with Keenan Allen. So I still like Keenan Allen a lot. I love him in redraft, but there's no escaping the facts that everybody got excited about Keenan Allen on that season. Because of his quarterback, not because of his play. Keenan Allen has always been freaking awesome. Everybody just came around of it because they were hyping his quarterback, not Keenan Allen. And it was actually one of his worst seasons in the last 3 or 4 years. That's how awesome he's been. So we're seeing the decline, and he's still that awesome.
There's a lot of hope about Justin Herbert coming in too, I think, being attached to Justin Herbert. Whatever.
He's going to spread around more though, no?
Right. I'm not expecting a big jump from Herbert. I think he's just going to either do similar or maybe a little bit less than what he did last. He was really good last year, and I expect him to, you know, that's how the top six QBs is a very volatile position in fantasy. And I don't think he actually finished the top six, but QB ones overall are volatile. I expect similar type of overall NFL type stats, but as far as fantasy, it's a little bit of a crapshoot as far as I'm concerned until Herbert does it more than a couple of times. I think he's still a great player and all that stuff, but as far as him raising up Keenan Allen's value, I don't see it because Keenan Allen's not a big red zone threat and everything. But I'm going to get back to Brandon Ayuk a little bit here because Brandon Ayuk is I hate to say it, guys. Brandon Ayuk had a better season than CeeDee Lamb did last year. From a per game basis, he had a bigger target share, more fantasy points per game, just all around the whopper, racer, everything that I care about, air yards, blah, 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 all that fun stuff. Brandon Ayuk was better than CeeDee Lamb, but CeeDee Lamb is the darling of everyone. But Brandon Ayuk is not getting the same treatment. Now, Brandon Ayuk is being valued a lot more than he was at the beginning of the offseason. He's a drastic increase, but I think Finero might have he might have the ADP stuff for us. But
yep.
I'm telling you, Brandon Ayuk, he's being paired with Trey Lance now and Debo's coming back. That's a lot of weapons in that offense. And I know there's a lot of rumors about rushing, and that's going to be a very run-centric offense. But I'm telling you, going to that that jump, players of that caliber see a significant, significant volume increase. And if he gets, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he approaches that 28-29% target share this year, even though Kittle and Debo are going to be back. So I'm just saying, Brandon Ayuk, he could. I understand the risk with that overall projection,
right? Like there, I mean, he's not going to have taking the number one coverage all the time. Even if he does, he's not going to be double teamed as much. They're not going to be able to focus as much as Brandon Ayuk either.
And That means more first downs, more red zone. Like when you have talent on your team, that gives more first downs, more red zone opportunities. So that it's all a rising tide lifts all boats. And I am excited for Brandon Ayuk, and he's actually tough to get at this point. So I'm really, I am jealous of that trade that Swags made. I am like upset. I'm hurt about it, actually.
Yeah, for the listeners, I mean, you should have seen Dave when he heard the whole rest of that trade. He's very, very visibly upset. I thought he was going to get up out of his chair at one point. And I feel the same way, Swags. I mean, that's a great deal for you. You're aging up or aging down, whatever way you want to say it, but real nice because you're getting a dynasty darling in Ayuk. I think his value only goes up once he starts hitting the field. And if Trey Lance winds up being a fraction of what people think he can be, it's going to go up again. Speaking of going up, at the end of the draft in 2020, he's being drafted as a wide receiver 45, and currently he has now jumped all the way up to wide receiver 21. So big jump for Ayuk.
Well, I feel like he's a wide receiver. I think he's being valued even higher than that. For me, I think he's a top 12 wide receiver for me in my rankings. I have trouble getting him, even for when I'm trying to pay for those kind of prices.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is very, very tough to get Ayuk. I've tried a couple times, and it just doesn't seem like even worth either person's time because, like, by the time you hear the counter offer, if you get one, it seems a little too ridiculous for you know, a sophomore. It's like, okay, you know, it's too high of a price for me. I'm just going to back out. Like, I get it. He's an exciting guy.
I will privately tell you guys about a counter offer that I got for another Ayuk share in another league that I almost thought it was kind of just like, oh, this isn't really an offer, is it? But I'll tell you guys about that privately. But yeah, I love Ayuk. Love him. I think the next guy on the list here is starting to get a little bit more hype again this year. Number 9 on our list, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running back 22, 195.1 points, 181 carries last year, 103 yards, 4 touchdowns, 36 receptions, 54 targets, 297 yards, 1 touchdown through the air. Average of running back 22, 15 points a week. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Is his value, I guess you're saying Swags' value is going up a little bit or is getting a little bit more hype. I know at one point you had thought that at least CEH was approaching a value that you thought was respectable. Are you still there, or do you think it's creeping back up again as the season starts?
I think it's
for you.
It's kind of player dependent, and I'll try to explain that. Like, some of my debates are more like Clyde Edwards-Helaire versus Dobbins and things like that.
Sure.
And so when I'm debating somebody from the same class that I strongly disagree with that position on, even if it's by a small margin, that's where I see the huge, like, I don't even want to say huge, but that's the variance of value. And I think that some of that does come from that just mentality of seeing people slowly buy back into it and finding reasons to, you know, a lot of, like, you know, people want to keep reminding me personally of how much Lamar runs the ball and things like that. Like, you're just kind of seeing it come back around, and people even, like, still kind of saying Clyde Edwards-Helaire over Swift because the Lions offense sucks. And when I see those things, it is starting to kind of, like, people are talking themselves back into it. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of the same people from last year who are just kind of like, hey, didn't happen last year. I was really high on him, but this and this and this. And, you know, it's just one of those situations where, like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire to me is kind of, he's an RB2 for me. I'm trying to think of the appropriate range I'd actually put him, especially in dynasty, not just like a seasonal finish, but I just think that people are never going to be completely content with what he is, and they're going to try to find a way to increase value in him and kind of get just not really burned. He's not going to hurt your team. He's going to be there for you, but you could do better.
I'm in a charity draft right now, and he went at 3-5, and I followed up after Clyde Edwards-Helaire and got Swift and Dobbins.
Yeah, see? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's craziness.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's craziness. There's no freaking reason for that kind of crap. Just no reason. People, like, creating narratives based off absolutely nothing. Oh, I don't get it.
I don't think it's absolutely nothing, Swags, because I think the team has definitely, if you look at what the moves that Kansas City has made this year, they have not invested in wide receiver at all. they I think it's pretty clear that Kelce, Mahomes and Tyreek Hill were not enough to overcome the Bucs last year in the Super Bowl. And they upgraded their offensive line significantly. And that I think that's more of a trying to be more balanced as well. I know they had to protect Mahomes some, but they're trying to be more balanced. They have not added any other running backs. So it looks like it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And going back to what Fenero says, and actually, and what Swags, you were saying too, he had a low of ADP of 16 in March this year. He had RB 16. And now he's starting to climb back up to the RB 17 in June. Last month, he RB 17, and now he's back up to RB 13. So there is a slight it is a bounce back here because he was definitely a middling RB 2 in Dynasty ADP, and now he's gotten back up. And I think for me is when we were saying he was the RB 5 overall consistently from last August to October. Even in November, he was the RB 5 in Dynasty. So. And that's probably like first round. Like Swags was saying, he was going the first round without having done anything in the NFL last year. But now I can get him in the third round of drafts. Maybe
still
the fourth
ahead
round.
Of Swift.
Swift's. I'm not sure what Swift's. I can do a comparison.
Luke Swift after CEH. I've seen it as
in a seasonal league. In a seasonal league, yeah. Swift is going. Swift in Dynasty ADP is going ahead of. Is one spot ahead of right now.
But that's just average depth position. And how updated is that? Is that the new Superflex ADP off DLF? Like,
yeah,
they June, have July ADP. I'm looking at July single QB. I don't see a July Superflex.
Really okay.
I didn't check out July because it's not over. So I just have June, and CEH in June was 14. So that goes back to what Dave was saying. He's climbing.
Even in a redraft format, I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
It does not compute. Like, what do we have to see from Swift? I mean, that offensive line got better too. He's going to be a target hog. He was RB 20 last year. That was behind Adrian Peterson. I mean, I don't know, man. To me, it's absurd.
I just really like the idea of, hey, I understand there was a reason for the upside. Like when you're attached to Patrick Mahomes, he still had a decent, he didn't have a ton of targets. He wasn't like a Jamal Charles level targets, but he did have a decent amount of targets went early on the year before Le'Veon Bell came in. And so going around that narrative, I like it at price. I like it. And I actually like it a little bit ahead of price a little bit. Just because you guys know how I love my young running backs. So I lift all my young running backs up. So it's not over Swift or anything like that. But
I mean, how many games did Swift start last year, and how many did Clyde Edwards-Helaire start?
I'm not sure about start. I think I had
three,
like as a starter. I don't know what, like as the lead back. I don't know, but they both play the similar amount of games.
What do you think I have to add to CEH to get Swift? I know you're going to say that, but I'm just saying, like, I have a situation where I would like to do that if CEH is going to continue to climb.
Oh, what do you have to add to CEH to get Swift?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a second.
Well, I would say a third. Like,
okay.
They're that close. Like, I wouldn't. Yeah.
I'm putting it in right now. Or do you think I should wait?
I would always go get Swift.
I mean, the CEH, the train is starting back up again.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You
know? Yeah, so I mean, I want to kind of capitalize off of that because I feel like it was an auction draft and I feel like I got the wrong guy. I want Swift.
It's crazy. They finished 19-20 last season. So CEH was RB 19, Swift was 20. They both scored, you know, Swift had more points per game, but they've like only were separated by three total fantasy points. It's just kind of crazy how similar these players were. I think Swift is definitely the better player,
Adrian Peterson in front of him. I mean, they said today that they want to get Swift the ball 25 times a game.
Oh, I said that today. That's exciting. That's exciting.
Third, 25 times a game seems like a lot. I don't know if they're talking like some in the past, some on the ground. 25 is a lot. But man, if you're telling me he's going to get 18 to 22, I mean, this is everything we've been waiting for. And honestly, like, man, I can't get with it. He's just a dude, man. Like, it's absurd to me. And to say that like this offense is any better for a running back than any other offense, especially an offense that doesn't have any weapons in outside of like Hockenson and Swift. And then I don't know, man, this offense doesn't run the ball any more than the Chiefs. And then let's talk about Dobbins and like the 33% that Lamar Jackson touches the ball, leaving about 2,000 to 2,200 yards on the ground for Dobbins and Gus Edwards versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire, where you're going to have Mahomes alone. We're just talking about the quarterbacks here, taking 17% in an offense that's probably going to have 1,600 yards on the ground, leaving what, 12 to 1,400 for the running backs? I mean, Dobbins all day. Swift all day. Shit. Go get Akers in a first for Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
That was not a spaceman level rant, but it was definitely noteworthy.
It's ridiculous. I hope that I can talk Dave off this ledge at some point here, because it'll probably make for some good shows. But man, everybody's like, wow, Swags is having a rough time right now. Yeah,
I'm ready to. We'll rhyme this back up again. But I the combination of targets and those snap percentages aren't sticky from year to year. I care more about opportunity share and stuff like that. Early on, without Le'Veon Bell, it was significantly more for Swift. And Swift, the problem with Swift that people have to remember, he was injured. He had that concussion right before he was about to explode and go off. So look, I am Swift. I am a Swift believer. I don't think it's fair that I'm just like the only like Swift over. But yeah, like, I think
Edwards-Helaire love is coming from all of the wrong places.
Yeah. And I also too, like running backs, you got to look at year to year projections. Like, how does it look this year? I don't necessarily look at like a percentage of, like the total yards. Like, I don't really break it down like you were with like how much Lamar Jackson or how much Mahomes was getting. I look at like red zone opportunities. I look at, overall implied team scores and those things. And that's the big difference, not for necessarily Dobbins and CH.
Here's the thing with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Lamar Jackson guys and guys that don't like Dobbins. They all have the same freaking arguments, all the same stuff. It's just like all the same stuff constantly throwing at you. There's never anything new, never anything new to base anything around. So I have my arsenal easily at hand for the things like, well, Lamar runs so much more than Mahomes, and you have to look at the situation actually, and what does it take away versus what is the team's opportunities going to be. And Lamar can run his 1,000 to 1,600 yards and he's still leaving some on the table for Dobbins. I don't know, like the most productive back with his opportunities last year, pretty much, right? Dobbins.
Yeah, no, his efficiency was through the roof. He just needs a greater opportunity.
I mean, Le'Veon Bell touched the ball more times than Mark Ingram.
And there are
arguments. I said that wrong. Mark Ingram touched the ball more times than Le'Veon Bell. And everybody's saying like, well, these guys are gone, and so it's his turn. But Mark Ingram's gone too. And he touched the ball more times than Le'Veon Bell did last year. And Dobbins still did better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Oh, no, he didn't. Only by a little bit. But Dobbins had more touchdowns.
The argument too is also like, hey, why was CH getting off the field when Bell came in? Was because Bell was such a superior pass catcher. I mean, a pass blocker, because that offensive line was horrendous in Kansas City. And so the idea is too that maybe there won't be as much emphasis put on that because the offensive line is more respectable. So that won't be asked, and that'll allow CH to be more involved in the pass. Like, he'll be in there more because a bull rush towards the quarterback at all times. So I think that's an argument too that isn't a popular argument, but I think that's just part of it that goes into the thing of why I think
it's a good, I mean, even that's even something Clyde Edwards-Helaire said he wanted to improve upon was his pass blocking and his catching. And to me though, that's like the ultimate coach talk. That's the player telling you what the coach told them they needed to get better at if they want to stay at that position in this league and have the starting job. That to me is the ultimate coach talk. That's what I'm listening to. And I hear what the coach told the player he needed to get better at. And it does, just because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is trying to work on getting better at that doesn't mean he's absolutely going to. Should he? Will he? Probably. I think he will. But just to automatically assume all of these things for one player and then not talking to you, Dave, not give DeAndre Swift or Dobbins the benefit of the doubt just seems so short-sighted to me.
I think we've talked enough about this. Sorry, I could keep going because I was not prepared to go this into it. So I'm trying to prepare on the fly a little bit on the CH.
Dave, you will have plenty of opportunities. We have plenty
of didn't even want to talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire too, is the funny thing. Number 8, another player I love, T. Higgins, wide receiver, 31, 195.1 points, 5 carries, 28 yards, 67 receptions, 107 targets, 908 yards, 6 touchdowns. Average wide receiver, 39, 13 points a week. I feel like from the way Dave came in here tonight, he would take Brandon Ayuk over T. Higgins.
No.
No?
Nope. I have T. Higgins as my wide receiver 6 in Dynasty right now. I am incredibly high on T. Higgins. I think one. So the biggest question with T. Higgins last season, sorry, and I don't want to take too much here because I want to hear some of these Finero takes. I want to get Finero revved up and ready to go here. But some of these, the T. Higgins is when he came in last year, the biggest question was, is he had a lack of production at Clemson, because what happened was he was being taken out of the game to be kept healthy because Clemson had 30, 40 point leads in the second half. You look at the splits. So there was a big question about college production with T. Higgins. Well, he came in and had and dominated at the NFL. He overtook A.J. Green, one of the a legend in Cincinnati, a literal legend in Cincinnati, one of the best wide receivers of the last 10 years.
I might be saying a lot for where A.J. Green was. I'm sticking with everything else here, though.
Yeah, but so A.J. Green has been a top five wide receiver of the last 10 years. So that's how good A.J. Green was. And so to overcome and to overcome that and with a rookie quarterback to do that. And then what they had for a rookie like QB play after Joe Burrow went down just shows you how good T. Higgins was. So they answered the question, did he have the talent? Because the production college production was iffy. Got the draft capital. College production was iffy. Well, he showed us. And then there were questions about his athleticism. I didn't see any questions about his athleticism. We were making amazing toe-tapping catches and in the end zone or on the sideline. We remember, guys, when we did the Rookademy Awards, and there was the most mentioned player for highlight plays that we talked about was T. Higgins. He was on there for 3 times because he did 3 freaking amazing plays. He's amazing. He's got better target share than CeeDee Lamb. He's got a better whopper. He has everything that people or make arguments for CeeDee Lamb is, T. Higgins did that. And they're like, oh, the offense. Oh, well, T. Higgins is attached to Joe Burrow, who and Cincinnati could be the Dallas of this year. I really like him in that offense, and I think he's going to lead that team in wide receiver production. I am all in, and it's cheaper. T. Higgins is cheaper than any other of these top wide receivers we're talking about, besides maybe Jerry Jeudy. But T. Higgins is a screaming buy to me at value in Dynasty, and I have him everywhere. In redraft this year, he's a screaming buy, and especially in Dynasty, he's a screaming buy. So I wish I could go longer, but I want to hear what Finero has to say.
That's funny. I just feel like T. Higgins has been on a seesaw this whole offseason. Like, everyone was super high on him, and we all thought that Sewell was going, and probably should have, to Cincinnati. And then when they went Chase, there was an immediate reaction that the Higgins is like, oh, I mean, like my best buddy owns him in our home league and he was down on him and he loved Higgins. And so did I. And then that seems to, again, seesawed all the way back. I mean, the bottom line is, as no matter how good Chase is going to be, I do believe that Higgins is going to be the number one wide receiver on this team. He was there last year. We know who he is. And I think he is going to out target Chase, and I think he will be. Now, in the future, does that wane, or can these two sustain? Because I know, Dave, let me just ask you a question. Where do you have you had Higgins? Where your wide receiver? What
wide receiver 6, I believe. Yeah,
and Chase
wide receiver 5.
Right. So to me, that's dynasty value, and I think that's why Higgins is being hurt for 2021 is because people are just so enamored with Chase. Orange Crush, right, Swags? So it's like one of those things where it's like, I get it, but this year, yeah, I think Higgins winds up being the wide receiver one on a very pass happy team with a bad defense. So why the hell not be high on Higgins? The question is just gonna be, how good is Chase and how much will he command, you know, the number one targets on that team? And will that Higgins love get, you know? It reminds me a little bit of Chad Johnson and TJ Houshmandzadeh. Remember that pair? It reminds me a little bit about that. And Chad Johnson was the guy. Houshmandzadeh was awesome. Like, it was great, but he wasn't the wide receiver one. That was Chad, like, all day. So I kind of feel like it kind of reminds me of that. Like, you're going to love owning Higgins, but I think in 2021, you're going to really like it, because I think people are putting Chase too high on that pedestal and giving him Justin Jefferson numbers.
So we're not moving on too quick here. I'm not going to get.
No, we're not, are we?
I got a hook on you. I'm not letting you off. But I do want to ask Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins to Feverish.
Ayuk.
Dave, do you have 2 Bengals wide receivers in the top 6?
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, in Dynasty, I'm a believer. Because what I do is I want wide receivers, young wide receivers, that. So the thing is, too, I thought like, oh, I have. I think we talked about this a little bit last week or a couple weeks ago when we talked about Chase. Yeah,
Jamar Chase. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just, I want the thing is they showed their rookie year one talent, and it's been shown about the jump from year one to year two. That's been like historically those jumps are big. It's been shown when they have that kind of draft capital, that kind of at that young of an age, that kind of production, that jump coming up in year two is a big jump. And the big thing that is attached to it is with Joe Burrow, an elite quarterback. I'm not saying he's elite, but Joe Burrow has that potential to, when you're attached to that, that unlocks the ceiling to have both of them there for me. So
he'll be elite if he has the number five and number six wide receiver to throw to.
Yeah. And that's my problem, I guess, with that. I just think your
other dynasty rankings are then, right?
Improbable. They're dynasty rankings. But two, what it does is also prices me out of the other wide receivers who are ranked there for a lot of people. I'd rather be investing a running back, a quarterback in those positions. But also too, is I think it's a safe bet because when you produce at that young of an age, yeah. And it happened with DJ Moore. I was extremely high on DJ Moore. I paid wide receiver 6, 7, 8 prices for him. He didn't return those prices, but he's still a top 12 wide receiver in dynasty value. So it's a safe bet to when you produce at a young age, it's a safer bet.
How many wide receiver ones do you have? I mean, I'm just being honest here, not trying to be snarky, because I like DJ Moore a lot. He's a huge buy to me. I threw you an offer. You were the one person I didn't want to throw an offer to because I know how much you like DJ Moore. I'm trying to buy DJ Moore, but is he really valued by consensus? As I'm not talking about your rankings here, Dave. Really a wide receiver one right now? Because there's a lot of wide receivers. I'm a little troubled here. And I think my problem here with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase both being not wide receiver ones, but like top five, top six in any dynasty rankings, is that one of them is not going to return that. It's just almost improbable that any offense is going to give you like two quarterback fives. They might give you a quarterback 10 and a quarterback 14, and we love that all day. I'm not saying they're not going to give you points and be very viable, help you win, but to have them like one of them, something's not going to work out there eventually, in my opinion.
Right. So the idea is that maybe when what you're trying to do is you're trying to hit that Uber production. You're trying to get that wide receiver, that Justin Jefferson, that Uber production for year one. And if it doesn't hit, you're still going to get the reliable production. So I'm trying to get I'm trying to look at players who I think are going to gain the most in ADP, and I'm trying to bet the market. I'm trying to predict the market.
And I'm going to hate that. Yeah. I mean,
and so, and by, to answer your question, DJ Moore is wide receiver 13. So it's just off the top 12.
Pretty close. Yeah.
And it's just a strategy of like, hey, I don't want to be caught holding. So when people are like, oh, what about, you don't have Nuck over him? You don't have Devontae Adams over them? I'm like, no, because I do not want the cliff. The cliff is random. The cliff can happen when you get to 30, 31. It's not a steady decline. Even for these, it's just either it goes.
But I want to be clear, Dave. I don't have a problem with you having either one of those players in your top five or top six. My problem is you have both of them in there. You can't choose. And I'm not saying that. I mean, I just, to me, like at some point, like something has to give there where one's like going to lose out. You know, I mean, are you going to start them both in the same week? Because that's a lot of draft equity to have in two wide receivers on the same team. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with like the ageist point of view, and I'm an ageist. So I'm not using that at all, like negatively, but my problem is just trying to imagine two wide receivers from the same team in like the top, we'll say six, the upper half of a wide receiver one.
I hear you. And the thing is, I would not necessarily recommend having the both of my same squad. So I'm not saying that I want to be like, if I'm making that, I have them in my rankings that way, and I want to be making both bets at different on different teams. So like, I'm not making that bet. I'm not going to go all in on the same dynasty squad. That I'm not going to have Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, and Chase all in the same squad. I don't want to do that. So, and then
we have one of them Dave to make a choice at some point.
No, I did make the choice. I think Chase is my wide receiver five, so I have him ranked higher. But I think T. Higgins is going to be a top 12 wide receiver in redraft this season, or at least a top 15.
Number seven.
Did I say T. Higgins last one? I meant T. Higgins for top 15 this season.
Oh, seven. We won't have to talk about him very long, right, Swag?
No, not at all. DeAndre Swift, running back 20, only had 10 touchdowns last year.
One only 10.
One of two rookies to do it. couple other ones had 12 and 11.
Wasn't he behind Adrian Peterson most of the season, though?
He was.
Yeah.
He was.
And doesn't he play on a shitty team?
Plays on a super crappy team.
And what about Jamal Williams? Isn't he going to take over the backfield?
The ball 80.7% of the time. Oh, yeah. Jamal Williams is going to be there.
He's there now. So rest in peace, DeAndre Swift. Nah, we're big fans.
61% of his games, he was a RB2 or better. Only started 3, though. Go get you some CEH.
This is the most fake analysis of DeAndre Swift I've ever heard you make.
Number 6, try to get excited about Chase Claypool, wide receiver 23, 10 attempts, 16
we
yards,
cannot, 62 Swag, receptions. We cannot let that go with DeAndre Swift. We cannot let DeAndre Swift go like that. And I want to make an argument, because to the analytic nerds out there, the projection people, the argument is they say, hey, in an offense like that, the odds, the likelihood, the range of outcomes. First off, stop playing yourself, nerds, that you know all the range of outcomes. You don't. Nobody does. You can talk about what's most likely. Yeah. Do you not realize how much chaos happens in every week of the NFL? It is chaotic. It is tough to predict chaos. And I understand how it looks the end of the season, all this stuff, but there's a big flaw. The smartest people, the J.J. Zacharysons, they tell you, do not live and die by your projections. They're a good tool to give you a realistic outcome. And then number 2 is some of the smartest people that I really respect is Sean Siegel, besides Finero and Swags, of course. Siegel, he says that sometimes you got to realize that when you get too nerdy and you nerd out and you say, oh, this is how I think everything's going to happen. You got projections. Oh, this is, you know, he's going to have 78 touches and whatever it's going to be. You have to just sometimes say, hey, remember, this is a game about talent. If you don't bet on talent, you don't get AJ Brown. If you don't bet on talent, you don't get DK Metcalf exploding. You know, you can go your projections all you want. You need to bet on talent. And DeAndre Swift has the talent to exceed through the air, on the goal line, and carry the workload.
Can I get that nerd voice again? That was awesome.
It was in the moment. I couldn't nerds sound differently.
That was the best nerd voice ever, dude. All right, my offer for Ayuk is out there now. Just so you know,
Swift.
Yep, I have an offer out for Swift for CEH straight up. Nice. It's probably not going to happen. And then I did Ayuk, and I tried to get a third out of him for my Keenan Allen.
I had a share of Clyde Edwards-Helaire for a minute and just felt dirty. So I moved it, turned it into like Travis Etienne. And I forget, I'll have to look up that trade again for you guys.
I know Dave wanted to get me fired up, but are we going to get Dave fired up about Chase Claypool, wide receiver 23?
I got to lay off the gas pedal here. I can't just talk a whole episode of fired
up. Chase Claypool is worth it to me, but Chase Claypool was wide receiver 23, 10 attempts, 16 yards with those attempts, 62 receptions, 109 targets, 873 yards, 9 touchdowns, average of wide receiver 35, 13.6 points on the weekly average. Chase Claypool. I've sold all my Chase Claypool and feel great about it.
Came out in May of 2020 at wide receiver 66, currently wide receiver 24.
Wow.
Do you agree with that, Dave? Wide receiver 24. Does that feel right?
Where's Juju and Deontay?
Hold on. Let Dave answer that question. I'll get back to you.
I'm trying to.
Oh, Deontay is right there. He's wide receiver 23. Juju is 30.
I cannot believe there's a day where I'm higher than consensus on Chase Claypool. This is just what has the world come to? I am sick to my stomach. I have him at, like the July ADP for single QB. Yep, he's the wide receiver 21, and he's my wide receiver 20. So I'm up by one on that from looking that way. But I think it's the same principle of why I'm high on T. Higgins and all these sophomore wide receivers. When you are a certain age, you have a certain level of production, that jump is real in year two. Except I don't have to pay the price anymore. I don't have to pay that wide receiver 6 price that people were talking about in midseason. Except I have to pay a low end wide receiver 2 price. And I like that bet. So
how great is this class, guys? I felt like we had enough to talk about class, right? Yeah. We had enough to talk about last week, and at these names, I mean, is it his whopper? Is it his whopper, Dave? You like Chase's whopper?
Ooh, off the top of my head, his whopper is only a 0.45 whopper. That's pretty solid for a wide receiver. So that's the weighted opportunity score, which is it weights target share and market share of air yards into one metric. 0.45 solid for a rookie. For example, for reference, I think that might have been more than CeeDee Lamb. I have to look off the top of my head now, but yeah. So
I'm glad you told us what Whopper was. I think the tone of my voice kind of told you that I didn't know what Whopper was. So I appreciate you letting everybody know.
It's a really sticky stat. Not sticky. It's just a really effective way to combine market share of air yards, which people really love their air yards and people really love their target share. And it's just really effective description. And as far as predicting fantasy points in the future, it's a really solid stat. So
I am not quite sure I have the energy to talk about the next gentleman on our list. I'm looking ahead and I've been just like, ah, oh, these guys are seeming grimace. They probably think it's because of what they're saying. It's not. It's because of number 5, Antonio Gibson, running back 14, 219.2 points. About 20% of them came in one game, 170 attempts, 795 yards, 11 touchdowns, 36 receptions, 44 targets, 247 yards. Average of running back 19, 15.7 points average. Antonio Gibson.
Are there any rookie fever listeners out there not listening to Super Flexible?
Probably. Dave didn't even listen. Yeah. There's a lot.
So there's some fun talk from our buddy Swag here about
time.
About Gibson. So if you want to listen to some more of that, go tune over to Super Flexible. But just a real quick synopsis. The thing that I remember hearing was you weren't quite ready to eat crow, but you do feel like perhaps you might be a little lower than you should be. Is that fair assessment? Maybe not quite yet, but you could see it happening. Like you almost are at the point where you're like, I feel pretty good. Here's why. You gave a lot of great reasons why. And then after the reasons you said, I do get there's an outcome next year where it could make it seem like I have to eat a little crow on this guy.
Sure. I mean, even if he's RB14 again, I think I probably deserve to eat a little bit of crow.
Yep.
To be completely fair, but I honestly did go into that and I you have my word, Fanero. Dave, you as well, but Fanero listened to it. I went into that really like getting ready to like that segment was going to be crow before cooked. It was still raw, still feeling it, but I was kind of going into it feeling like I was going to be maybe wrong about Antonio Gibson this year. So I went into it trying to like him. I really did. I tried to be as non-biased as I possibly could when I did the research that I wanted to look at in the way I looked at it. And in the end, while I do see the opportunity that you're talking about Fenario and maybe eating a little bit of crow here, I also kind of am still just as concerned. Honestly, I think that it was just what it was, man. I mean, if they would have liked Antonio Gibson as much as everybody does, Peyton Barber wouldn't have started week one. Honestly, like it just the whole way you look at everything. And after he had that big, huge game, never another touchdown.
I think that's the one thing.
Inconsistent year, honestly. It was very inconsistent. And when you start to go listen to Super Flexible, I've taken up a lot of time talking on this show today.
Is that 20% so, that one game? Am I right on that number? 20% of his production was in that one game?
It was probably more accurately 18%.
Okay.
It's 20 sounds way cooler, and it's about the same. It's probably more accurately about 18%. That would have came in week 12.
Right. Dave, are you comfortable moving on to the wide receiver that you continuously compare all these other wide receivers to, or do you have something you want to like quickly say about Antonio Gibson?
Briefly, I do not think that JD McKissic is going to lead all running backs and targets this season. So I think that gives up more opportunity for Antonio Gibson through the air, which is his real strength. I think he demonstrated the biggest question mark that he had going in is if he could carry the load or not. He got injured. Don't get me wrong, but could he function as an NFL running back? He only had so many carries in his college career. Could he function as an NFL running back? He answered that. He answered his receiving ability in college. He's very good catching the ball. So there is big time potential. I am not ready to move him up into the Dobbins, to the Swift, to the formerly of the Cam Akers spot pantheon yet. But there is. I understand there's a pathway to there. I'm just not there yet. I need to see a little more. But I am right where everyone. I think I'm just not that high. But I have he's a top. He's my RB12 in Dynasty. So
I raise you a Curtis Samuel.
Right. The wide receiver. Yes. Yeah.
He's taken targets. He had 40 touches out of a backfield last year and 19 the year before when Riviera was there. So to think that he's not going to take passes away, let alone McKissic, who honestly had a pretty decent year. And even if they take some targets away from McKissick, he's still going to be targeted. You're not going to go from being the number one targeted NFL running back to not in the game plan at all. They didn't do
that. That wasn't what I was implying. I was not implying that he wasn't going to. I just said he wasn't going to be the number one target leader. I was not implying that he was going to disappear.
Yeah, David, I think your point about Gibson, I mean, that was the narrative, and rightfully so, is that he just didn't really even carry the ball in college. Like, it was like, really, there was zero production there. And to see him run between the tackles the way he did, again, he didn't hold up to your other point, but to see him have the ability to do that, that to me is the biggest promise with Gibson. And then if you want to take it a step further, if they did want him...
He only had 20 attempts twice, and one time was before the bye week, and then he came back and only had 6 attempts after that, week 9, only 6 attempts after 20, and then he had 20 attempts, and then he gets hurt the next week.
How many games did Swift have over 20 attempts?
He started less games. Gibson started like 10 games.
I think that's just that's kind of like 20 attempts. Like, there's only like a couple of running backs in the league that have over 20 attempts in a season, in a game. Like, that's not a very...
was that we said he could stand up to it. He showed he could stand up to it, and both times he didn't.
Oh, no. I think you're talking about 9 health-wise.
Attempts, 13 attempts, 9 attempts, 13 attempts, 11 attempts, 9 attempts, 20. Bye week, 6 attempts. 13 attempts, 16 attempts, 20 attempts, 2 attempts. Boom, he's done. And then he comes back, 10 attempts, no touchdown, nothing in the passing game. Just like, meh.
Yeah, I think we both Dave and I said we were concerned about him holding up on the load because he got hurt last year. I think what we were saying, that he showed the ability to run between the tackles. That's like for a running back in college who didn't do that and was like literally almost a wide receiver coming into the draft, it was just nice to see him have the ability to do that. But, you know, there are concerns about that durability, though.
People show like that ability. Like,
sure, sure. No, I agree. Especially like, you know, backup running backs. You see that all the time.
I think there's a lot of signs that we are ignoring with this situation.
Oh, yeah. Honestly. I'm not trying to take away from that. Yep.
And I'm not, I mean, even like week 5, like Gibson's RB29, McKissick's RB30. Week 6, McKissick's RB16, Gibson's RB28. McKissick, week 9, RB4, Gibson's RB20. Week 16, McKissick's RB9. I mean, a lot of these games where McKissick was showing up, there's a healthy Antonio Gibson.
Up, Swags, update. I can't get Swift. I'm trying to trade with a Lions fan. I didn't know that.
Stupid Lions.
Can't trade with a stupid Lions fan.
Did he tell you that? Don't want to do it. I'm a Lions
fan.
Yeah,
he did.
Fan.
He did it straight up. He said, that's going to be a tough one for me to accomplish since I'm such a big Swift guy. By the way, I'm a Lions fan. So
Antonio Gibson's one of those people that, like, he makes me think of Austin Eckler.
Ooh.
Yeah. Is that gross?
So number 4, CD Lamb.
I didn't even want to talk about
him. All these people you don't want to talk about, you talk about. He literally at the beginning said, I'm not going to talk about this guy.
Literally like number 1, 2, and 3, I don't even want to talk about either.
CD Lamb.
Those ones I like. I just like them a lot.
Come on, Dave. This is a fun one. CD Lamb.
I feel like a broken record with CD Lamb. He has young. He's got a first round draft capital, young. He was a dominant producer in college, good athleticism. He's dynamic. He returns punts. So not only is that, he shows his dynamism. He plays out of the slot. He can play out wide. He's attached to Dak Prescott, and that Dallas Cowboys defense is not becoming a world beater next season by any means. The only negatives I can see is that there's Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup there as well, but going back to my old argument, a rising tide lifts all boats, or whatever the saying is. CeeDee Lamb has shown dynamic ability by dominating an offense at an early age, and that year 2 jump, it could be special in this Dallas offense.
Plus Amari Cooper's out for the year.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. That's just how everybody's acting.
So that, you don't want to say anything, but I feel like you have something to say to Twitter about that.
No, CeeDee Lamb, I'm happy to talk about. I can handle this
one. Yeah, I mean, CeeDee
Lamb. I like CeeDee Lamb a lot, man. I do. Dave made me think a little bit back at the top of the show, though. Like, if you are like wanting to sell CeeDee Lamb with the hyped like Amari Cooper thing, because I like CeeDee Lamb a lot. I don't want to sell him. I will. And then if you go get somebody though, like Brandon Ayuk plus for CeeDee Lamb, because I think you could make that plus like kind of marginally better than the difference of these two players. And I think that is a move I wouldn't mind making. I only have one CeeDee Lamb share though, and I sometimes like to attach to, like, when I have one thing, I like to keep them, because like I said, I don't want to sell him, but I probably would. I don't think that's a move I would hate to make though, if somebody sent me like Ayuk, and I don't know, what would that have to be? Or what
I do know,
you think that, I don't I, even I, want to say what do you have to, what that, does it have to be?
Because that feels harder than you made it.
Yeah, like what could it be? What could
it be? Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a little harder of a move to make. Because, like, I mean, if you're just talking about a pick, I don't think it's a marginal pick. I think it's a second minimum, I think, to jump from
minimum. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I need more than a third, or I'd just rather keep my CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, it's and then again, like when you're doing wide receiver for wide receiver, like I'm just gonna stick with Lamb over a second, to be honest. Like, so I just feel like it would have to either be another piece or another
AJ Dillon.
Yeah, that would be something.
Brandon Ayuk and AJ Dillon. Yeah,
that sounds fair.
Dave's shaking his head.
Dave won't do it. But that I think you're getting into that ballpark where it makes a little more sense for the guy who owns CeeDee Lamb, but. There's a lot of risk with AJ Dillon
So where does CeeDee Lamb fit in with your 15 wide receiver ones, Dave?
I have 11 wide receiver ones. No, I have 12. No, CeeDee Lamb's a wide receiver 4. So it goes basically, we've talked about them all. It goes CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. So that's
and then Chase, right? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I meant Claypool.
Oh, Claypool's down there. He's down. He's down a couple tiers. But all three of these wide receivers we talked about tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're in the same tier. Yeah, I love me some CD. No, actually, I've been doing a lot of charity pods, like for leagues. We'll donate money to charity, and Jaycee Coche will do an analysis of their whole leagues. We'll go team by team, rank recommendations, roast their league, and everything. Actually, the first time that I've been told, or was actually posed a question where I actually would sell CeeDee Lamb, is if a lot of times there, if you're a team that you're a crap team, and CeeDee Lamb's one of your main pieces, I think now you got to sell. Because you need to, that trade down to an Ayuk plus, you need to get more pieces that can grow in value. You got to, like, like weeds, you need to start growing that value. And I really, if you're a rebuilding team, that's a year or two away, or at least a year, more than a year away, I would be trading CeeDee Lamb, because he's the top 7 wide receiver in Dynasty right now. And I think you can get a lot for him. So I would recommend selling him, because.
Yeah, I like what you're doing there. And I don't mind the grow in your weeds analogy there. I like that. I like to split my stocks, like think of it as a market, and split your stocks and then watch two stocks rise to probably pretty close to the same level as the one that you gave up to get.
Good. I like that analogy too a lot.
Number 3, Mr. Robinson.
Swags, you want to talk about this guy today?
Here's to you. James Robinson, running back 7, 240 carries, 1,070 yards, 49 receptions, 60 targets, 344 yards, 3 touchdowns, average running back 7, 19.5 points a week.
Right after he was drafted in May, no ADP. That doesn't surprise anybody. But by the end of the season, RB10, where is he now? Dave, you get to pick first.
I bet he's a wide receiver 32 or something, or running back 32 or something.
Not bad, Swags.
Man, that was a strong hint there, though. Not bad. I'm going to say running back 28.
What do we got, 28 and 31?
I think Dave said 32. 31 and 32.
Yeah.
So I remember by the Price is Right rules.
So 28 and 32. Just what's the average of that?
30.
RB 30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I really want to ask you. I want to ask you guys a question. So I think all three of us believe that James Robinson will have a role, a useful one in fantasy this year. Does he have one in 2022? And then does he have one in 2023?
Yes.
A useful fantasy role over the next 3 years.
Yes. Okay. I mean, it's hard to project that far out, but if you're asking absolutely. Me now to
but gamble, I like
to... I think that he can be better than Gus Edwards.
Okay.
You know, even if he's in that offense at some point behind ETN, if we're projecting into the future,
right?
I think that he's got a role. He was a pretty decent pass catcher too. He didn't have the target share that you want to see from your PPR backs. ETN is going to be the pass catcher there, but I mean, he did pretty decent last year. I think that he has a role in the NFL. If he doesn't stick with that team, I think he's either traded to somebody else, or I don't think he goes away Trent Richardson style.
Fair enough. Yeah. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
Just quickly. People need to remember that Urban Meyer is a run heavy coach. And there is, I'm sorry, but I don't see Travis Etienne being an 18 carry a game back. There is going to be volume to be had for James Robinson. And then there's always the incident. No one ever wants it. But what happens if Etienne is injured or pulls a hammy or something like that, and then he's in a better team with better weapons this year, I think, with Trevor Lawrence, he's attached to that. You can't say that Robinson. Come on, guys. I think don't go too far with Robinson. He's definitely going to have value. I mean, freaking Damian Williams is still getting signed places. So yeah, James Robinson has value.
Is he a hold or a buy?
I mean, as far as my leagues go, I've tried and tried and tried. I think I've exhausted my opportunities to try to buy him without paying more than even I'm comfortable with. Either people know me or a lot of talkers out there that'll say, oh, you sell for this. Then you even see that person say it and you're like, okay, boom. And they're like, oh, I can't really in this league. What do you mean, dude? You just like, I don't know.
You're preaching that. Why not do it?
Yeah, there's a lot of things I don't agree with, though, that people that attempt to give advice do, like the whole like what would you pay and what would you give thing. It's like, well, what's the value of him, you know? Like, now first of all, like, we're obstructing value all the time by like going with a consensus view and not pushing back against it. But then when you all of a sudden create a value of how much you want to pay to buy and how much you want to pay to sell, it I don't know, just so many like things that have to be kind of tough for people that really want our help to process when they're trying to make their deals. And so if we're going to have a value, I don't think it's right to like always want more when you're selling. Like, I like this player a lot more on my team, but I'm not going to pay for him. I don't know. That's just silly.
in Dynasty, not for 2021, in Dynasty, would you rather have Gaskin or Robinson?
Wow, that's a tough question. I hate that that's a tough question. That would not have been a tough question 6 months ago.
Right.
I'm going to take James Robinson because I think that I feel better about the production I'm going to get about from him this year, and still kind of curious what Miami ends up doing. That's a tough one. I don't like that. I wouldn't make this bet.
How about you, Dave?
I'm a Miles Gaskin guy because I really am excited about this Miami offense. I think Tua makes a jump this year, and Miles Gaskin, not only did he show that he was very good on the ground, but he's also dynamic through the air. So I really like that dual combo of can get it done on the ground, but also can catch passes. Not that James Robinson can't, but I just think,
no, dude, like I said, I wouldn't make this bet. That's a tough question, honestly, especially on the spot. It's a tough one. Yeah. I wouldn't make that bet.
Yeah, and there's this uncertainty all over. Like, you know, does Miami go the other way? Everyone thought Miami was going to draft a running back, myself included, even with what Gaskin did last year.
Yeah.
And I really did believe that at the top of the second they were going to go there. And we don't know what they were going to do or what they weren't going to do based on, you know, what players fell to them, what their board looked like, all that stuff. So they still could have been interested, let's put it that way. So my biggest concern for Miami is that they do take that step up. And Miles Gaskin's good. He's maybe like serviceable, beyond serviceable, but just not the guy. And then next year they wind up saying, okay, now we're going to draft a guy because we're that much closer, because running backs, you know, can be had in the second round, even the early third round. So like I could see a team like Miami. I mean, there's a chance that Miami's actually disappointed that they don't go to the playoffs this year. They made some moves. And so I could see, I mean, we didn't think James Robinson was going to get replaced. I didn't, you know, and it happened. So I could see Miles Gaskin getting replaced. And in that case, if I go with Swags's narrative about Robinson and he's staying on the team for 3 years and playing with another dynamic back and they're sharing the backfield, he's a more useful piece over the next 2 or 3 years in Dynasty. So, I mean, you have to believe that he's going to not get just completely beat out by ETN to go that direction. So there's a lot of uncertainty on both sides, but I guess I would lean slightly, and I'm surprised I'm saying this, slightly towards Robinson. If that scenario really does play out, I'm more concerned about Gaskin getting replaced next year.
And I don't think it's an easy call, but I know what you're saying too on Gaskin. Even like ETN, you know, he was a late pick, or Harris. None of those teams really had used high picks for these running backs. I think, what was it, 17 and 18? So if you can even be in that mid-range or get somebody like Swift at 202, you know what I mean? So you can get a good running back late in drafts still. Yeah. So,
and sometimes for me, and this is a weakness perhaps, but you know, there is some validity to it. It's just, you know, Gaskin was a seventh round pick. You know what I mean? Like, there's a part of me that just feels like the NFL doesn't stick with those guys long enough. And I know
you, but even, yeah, you're going into it now, but you're arguing for an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, I know. So. I am.
One thing about Gaskin that kind of helps me. Now, mind you, James Robinson earned so much last year. He proved so much to us, and it didn't even matter. I know it was a new coaching staff, but with Gaskin, he was doing really well. Then he got injured, and there was a lot of concerns like, oh, that's it, because Salvin Ahmed did a decent job when he was out. And there was just a thought like, oh, now it's just going to go to a committee or whatever. And they put Gaskin right back in there. And then the second thing is then it was, oh, there's a chance to invest in running back here in the draft. And then they didn't. So Gaskin is there as well. So we've had two chances to like, hey, to fade Gaskin. They haven't. So that's some positive that gives me some hope with Gaskin. That still doesn't mean that he won't get replaced at the drop of a hat because it's the NFL and that stuff. But his receiving upside does soften the blow for that. Like, okay, they bring someone in to get some carries. Okay, well, he still has that receiving ability. So that's something at least.
That's really good points.
All right, guys. I know we do this all the time. We gloss over the fancy toys, but I think number two, we have to speed over really quick and then give number one a little justice. A little justice, Justin Jefferson. Number two, Jonathan Taylor, running back 5, 232 attempts. We all know this dude's a stud. 1,169 yards, 11 touchdowns, 36 receptions, 39 targets, 299 yards, one touchdown, RB9, 18.9s. Long story short, if you didn't go and get him last year when we were telling you to go and get him, you're paying up right now. And I think he's completely worth it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, what's Jonathan Taylor now? Like RB1?
Yeah, man. I mean, you see him go anywhere. Right? I don't know his ADP. I couldn't tell you.
I think it's RB1.
Anywhere from RB1 to RB3, though, right?
Yeah. RB2. RB2.
I haven't done
RB4. That's super flex. You're looking at just is that startup or just one quarterback?
Startup. Yeah, just startup. One startup, QB.
Startup's fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. So RB4, Saquon, Cook, and McCaffrey are above him right now. 22 years old. Yep. Stud. It's a shame, right? This is going to happen. This is going to happen when we start doing our weeklies. Like these studs at the top are going to wind up just glossing over like we did when we did Barkley year after year. He's like RB1 again, guys. RB1 again, guys. But now Jonathan Taylor price is really high. I tried to save
time at DeAndre Swift, Chase Claypool, Antonio Gibson.
Quick question for you guys about Jonathan Taylor. I love Jonathan Taylor. I do have a question for both you guys. Are you worried with Phillip Rivers moving on that Phillip Rivers is such a proficient target? He targets the running backs so well. Are you worried that Taylor might not return the same receiving? He was like one of the better pass, like from a percentage wise, he was really nice catch percentage. Are you guys worried at all that he might not get as much work through the air this year?
Well, that's the thing, though. I think you just nailed it. It was a catch percentage. He only had 39 targets, dude. You know, like I feel like with 39 targets, I think he could get 30 targets again. You know, I feel like because of the low, like if he wound up being a 60 target guy, I would say, yeah, now I'm worried he's going to get half of those targets. I don't think 30 targets is a lot. I think he can get 30 targets.
Yeah.
Can he maintain that efficiency? That's up to him. But I don't think the targets are going to get taken away from him. They showed enough. With that efficiency, he's going to get 30, 40 targets again.
I'm more concerned about making good my running backs young and getting some of these guys like the Taylors and the Swifts and the Dobbins than I am getting my wide receivers super young. Like the running backs, these guys I want young and in their prime. So, yeah, I don't mind Taylor's price point at all. I'm not concerned about Carson Wentz. We've seen success out of Carson Wentz. I think this will be a good change for him. That's what I think. Yeah, I like Jonathan Taylor a lot. Now, if you offered me Swift and just a little dab, I'll pull the trigger. I'm your market.
What's the difference between JK and Swift for you? I mean, JK and Taylor for you?
A little bit more. Like it's one I'm not I'm not willing to lose value on that one, to be honest with you. I want market value on that one. A lot of trades, like if I want it bad enough, I'll pay up and stuff. I'm also not going to go out of my way to add a ton to Dobbins to get Jonathan Taylor on the flip side. But if I have Jonathan Taylor, I feel better about that situation than I even do the Ravens one that I feel really good about. And if you sent me an offer or something, I might explore it, but I just don't know if I want to sell Jonathan Taylor just for the heck of it, you know? So I kind of want to be around market value, though, whatever that may be, which I feel like I'm probably going to garner a first or somebody that's valued similarly. Does that seem kind of correct somewhere in there?
Yeah, I think I definitely need on top of Taylor, on top of J.K. Dobbins to get Taylor. That's for sure.
Yeah. No, and now I do think that Dobbins has that same potential for even opportunity. But I still, for this particular move, I do want market value. Number one on the list, 1,414 all-purpose yards, missing one game. He was 2 yards behind Travis Kelce. He was 36 yards behind Stephon Diggs. Justin Friggin Jefferson, wide receiver 6, 1 attempt, 2 yards, 88 receptions, 125 targets, 1,400 yards, 7 touchdowns, average of wide receiver 8, 17.8 weekly points. Justin Jefferson.
I think he missed week one, or not missed week one. I think he missed a game and also like barely played in week one. So like just to throw that into the mix too. Mm-hmm. What do you think with an extra game and him being the bona fide starter? What do you think? Is it? I mean, everyone wants to say that's Justin Jefferson's like probably ceiling. He's going to come down off of that a little bit, but I don't know, man. I mean, why can't he have 1,400 yards again with another game?
Yeah,
I just don't know, Dave. He can't.
No, the people are taught, like, I don't understand the holes in Justin Jefferson's game, because he wasn't crazy in his touchdowns. He had an average TD rate, 8.9%. Maybe he actually should have gotten an extra touchdown or two if you really want to talk about it, based on his volume. Thielen is getting a little up there in age, and he had a huge touchdown spike this year. That could balance out a little bit. I mean, Kirk Cousins, people want to keep crappy on Kirk Cousins, but he's had 18 points per game, fantasy points per game, the last five years, I think. That's what he's been. So he can definitely sustain one or two top. He's shown he can sustain multiple wide receivers. So I don't get the hate with Justin Jefferson, besides the fact that they want to run the ball all the time with Cook. But hey, that defense wasn't that great in Minnesota last year. So I think Zimmer's losing his edge a little bit. Actually, he's never had an edge, but I don't see anything. He's my wide receiver one. I'm sorry. Like, you want to? So another wide receiver one from this class for you, Swags.
It's just such a great class. I mean, it was a lot of fun following them all year long last year. I just hope that we get. I hope we just get like 3/4 of that this year. Just something, half of that. I don't know. But last year was just such a treat. Justin Jefferson was just the cherry on the top. I mean, that guy was. He's the wide receiver one in Dynasty right now, and he's going to start his second year. That's crazy. It's amazing. Historical. Came out after the draft as wide receiver 25. And here he is, wide receiver 1.
I like Justin Jefferson.
I remember, Swags, when you were trading for him fairly aggressively. I want to say somewhere around in week 6, 7, somewhere in that area. And I remember some of those trades. And I don't remember them literally, but I remember some of those trades being easy for you to make. Like whatever you were doing, you were able to make them happen. How many share, or if you had to say on top of your share, do you own like maybe 5 or 6 Justin Jeffersons? Because I own none. I
have
none.
At least 5 or 6. I'll have to look at least what I have. But yeah, they were, and they're, and the time in the moment, like a lot of trades I make, like people were like, I don't know.
Right. You were getting like, them. Yeah, you were getting them.
And but yeah, today I have a lot of Justin Jeffersons. That's how you defeat the wide receiver guys, the guys that aren't drafting running backs, those zero running back teams out there that are not. That's how you build your teams, is with these wide receivers that nobody wants.
I got him.
Well, now everybody wants him
in a 16 team league, 16 league team league this season in the startup. I got him in the second round, and we picked like 102. So he got all the way back around a 16 team league, and I could not believe it. Shocked.
Wow.
Shocked.
Nice. Well, this has been another fun show. A little long. We apologize about that.
A little on the long side.
I am Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever. He is at Artbark TV. You are at Artbark TV. You are at FF_Spaceman.
Lowercase.
So, Dave, like Rondale Moore, wide receiver 11, wide receiver 12. Where does he fit in here? I mean,
wide receiver 23, I think, maybe.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised because I know you're really high on him.
Yeah, I've got to look real quick.
Are we really doing a live show next week? Is that?
Yeah, as long as the baby is crowning.
The baby's going to be a Rondale Moore fan, I guarantee it.
Don't even know if it's a boy or a girl yet.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This is a Rondale Moore family. This is a Rondale Moore household.
What do you think would shake you off of him? What does he got to do? Fall on his face?
Grow a couple inches.
Get kicked out of the NFL?